Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't do it for him, but have a good morning. What's going on, everyone, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show? Derek Kramer here with you. Zach Jones is on vacation, a well-earned one for him as well. Hope you're having yourself a good morning as it is. It's cold, it's windy, it's tough, but hey, you know what? That's what we're here for, is to try to get you through it. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. First of all, how in the heck am I supposed to follow up that last hour from Jeremy and Joe? Like, that had everything from Christmas music to our Spotify raps to pretty much it had anything. And then yesterday was video games, like arcade games, and it's like, okay, cool. So how am I supposed to do this? Well, I'm going to try to. Sal Capaccio joining us at about 10:15, so in about 12-ish minutes or so. Paul Hamilton at 11:30 as well to talk about the Sabres. They're getting themselves ready for the 6-game road trip that starts tonight in Philadelphia. But, guys, I have to ask you, and I'll ask you the quick question on this one of the Spotify rap of your playlist, everything like that. So it told me that my listening age is 27, which makes a lot of sense. My music taste has not changed in a good 10 years.
Fair enough. I have Apple, so I'm not. Yep. I don't get the age.
You don't get the certain statistics on this.
But I would think that if I were to, it would be like 52.
I think I'm pretty much there as well.
I've got my number one's the Hip, and yep, then it's Wilco and the Clash. Like it's not not exactly modern.
Yes, that is true. I mean, it kind of makes sense too. You know, like you and your dad, you guys love listening to music. Right. Your brother as well. Like, and you know, obviously, you're gonna grab some tastes from him on that because it's a connection thing. Joe, what's it got for listening age for you?
I'm on Apple as well.
You guys
so
are, okay,
I don't
so I'm
have
talking
it
to Apple guys.
Yeah, I do not have
all
it.
Right.
Lots of mixed. I kind of have a mishmash of everything.
You're the hodgepodge of the group.
Yeah, so I like pretty much anything music-wise. So nothing too crazy, nothing I wouldn't expect on there by any means. But
yeah, when I've got Census Fail hitting my top five, my music taste has not changed at all. So
there's nothing wrong with it.
It wasn't a phase, Mom. but yeah, it a lot of fun talking about this sort of stuff, and it's always good to have that kind of nonsense to get you through a week, mostly because, well, hey, the Bills, we're probably looking at a declining amount of time for them to win the division. It's pretty much over at this point. Only if not mathematically, that's pretty much the only way that you can look at it. But with how the Bills are trying to get themselves back into seeding, how to properly structure themselves within the wild card, and New England is doing nobody any favors ever.
And that is kind of the biggest problem here. Can the Bills make it through a road-only playoff run? And while they haven't been the best of road teams throughout this current year and last year as well, they weren't the best road team last year either, they're going to have to. There's no real choice about this. They're going to at least have to win a couple of games to force things into how they want it to get. I do hope there's one extra game at Highmark Stadium, and that would mean that the Bills have to get themselves to the 5 seed. Buffalo has to get themselves elevated from where they are, which is the 7, which means you're never hosting a playoff game for the rest of the year. You're just not. You get the lowest seed, you're always on the road. So the Bills have to get themselves out of the 7th seed, also because I think there's a good matchup for you if you face the AFC North. They've shown that they can handle it. And again, New England is doing you no favors. They are not helping out with tripping up in any sort of way. So it just turns into this is what the team is when it comes to where they're going to be this year. They're on the road. And it's easier to adjust to it when we've seen it going on for a little bit of time. It's easier to adjust when you can kind of see it happening all throughout the year. I'm pretty sure like at the bye week, people are like, okay, maybe it's not going to happen this year where the one seed's out of the question at that point. Because it was Indianapolis that kept winning. But the division wasn't necessarily something that people dismissed, though, so early. But once the Bills lost a couple of extra games, Miami's the one where pretty much everyone goes, yeah, all right, this is probably where we're at now. Because New England's refusing to lose, and the Bills dug themselves a hole. So I think it's been over time we're able to accept it week by week by week over the last few weeks that the division's just not going to happen. And mathematically, it's still possible, yes. But acceptance is a key phase for moving on and letting go. And this year, the division has to be let go of. It is irritating that it's New England again, though. In a year where Kansas City is the 10 seed and they're well out of the playoffs right now and they've lost tiebreakers to almost everyone that they could. Okay, so the old power has fallen off. Okay, who's taking their place at the top of the AFC? It's New England again. As if almost that you got a break, you had a new villain in the place of it, and then the old villain's back. And while New England has not been tested often this year with quality competition, they're not getting in their own way. But at the end of the day, the old villain's back. The old problem is back. The Bills are in the same spot that they were 6 years ago, looking up at New England, annoyingly so. And it's done in a much different way. But that doesn't make it any less annoying. That doesn't make it any less irritating. It makes it almost like this inevitability sort of thing of like, it's Thanos. Where did it lead to? Back to me. And it's like, yeah, that's right. That sounds about right, actually. Patriots, Thanos, yep. Time is a circle. I don't know, though, if New England is this team that we all have to genuinely be fearful of and cowering of this year. Yes, the Bills lost to them, but it took a lot for that to happen. The Bills had to be messy with the football. They had to be a bit of a struggle bus. They had to be a team that really did not play and put its best foot forward. New England is very good at stopping the run. The Bills were not able to adjust to that. So when the Bills didn't put their best foot forward, New England still only won by 3. But again, the Patriots very rarely have tripped themselves up this year. The Steelers game is probably the most frustrating one for them. Turn the ball over 5 times.
But again, anyone can beat anyone this year. And that has been way too true this year throughout for a lot of teams. You have Green Bay losing to Cleveland, or you have Buffalo losing to Miami, or you have, you know, the Patriots turning it over five times against the Steelers. Ultimately, the records show that that should not have been the case. The Rams losing to the Panthers. Nobody is safe. Anybody can get this work. And because it's so wide open this year, that's where the hope comes from. That's where you can actually be like, okay, as frustrating as the Bills are, anyone can get got. Even a Bills team that has to play primarily on the road in the playoffs has a good shot at this. Can they make sure to do the best that they can and put themselves in a more favorable position? Yes, and I do believe that that will be the case. The Chargers are dealing with injuries again. The Colts are starting a free fall. And now Buffalo has an opportunity to move up within the wild card seeding. Getting back to the five seed, I think, is a big deal. Because what it'll be is a bit of a kinder road. And now we go to the Western Hotline as we talk with Sal Capaccio. Sal, first of all, happy Wednesday to you and welcome in.
How are you? Happy Wednesday to you, no doubt, no doubt. Happy birthday to my son today. I haven't had a chance to say that today. Today is Max's 12th birthday, so I'm on the air and just wanted to give him a shout-out. Say happy birthday.
Well, I will say it as well. Happy birthday to Max. Sal, a lot has been going on within the last couple of days here. The Bills are in this position where it seems like we can kind of accept a little bit that the division might not be theirs for the taking. It may not even necessarily be realistic at this point because New England refuses to slip up and make a mistake. But with that said, Sal, there is opportunity here for this Bills team to move up in the seeding, in the wild card, and try to at least stake claim to the five.
Yeah, I'm not as much about seeding right now as I am about just winning games and getting in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the seeds are going to fall where they may. I think people have to realize that a lot of these teams are playing each other. So who knows where everybody's going to fall, right? I mean, like you have – take a look here real quick. So, for example, Jacksonville and Indy play this week, right? Like one of those teams is going to – or and then Houston is still in there. Where's who does Houston have still in their division? Let's see. They still have Indy as well. So Jacksonville plays Indy this week. Indy still plays Houston the last week of the year. And these two, let's see who else. But anyway, the point I'm making is, Derek, that somebody's going to win that division. And because the other teams play each other, they're just, you might have teams just get enough losses where they fall out of it anyway. So the Bills may just, you know, continue to be in a certain spot, but they have to keep winning. Now, if they lose and Houston jumps them, okay, you're out. Now, Houston could also, though, get to the three. Because they keep winning, but then that means maybe Jacksonville falls below you. I'm not about seeding right now. It doesn't matter. I think you can kind of project all of that and what you want to happen. I think the biggest thing we know right now is the Bills have a very slim chance of winning the division. So that means they're going to be on the road in the first round as the 5, the 6, or the 7. You just got to get in, and then you let the chips fall where they may on who that may be against.
Sal, there was a lot from this Steelers game that I wanted to ask you about, though, as well. More or less, the first thing I want to start with here, Christian Benford looks back. The last few weeks, he has really been stabilizing his game. It looks like he's back to being the Benford that got that extension. And he's the one that helps really turn that game around. It was a malaise, a slow march through that first half. And then back-to-back plays. Bosa strips the ball from Rodgers, and it goes right into Benford's hands. And then the next drive after that, he's got the interception that spins the game all of a sudden on his head.
Yeah, I think if Joey Bosa doesn't play this week, it's a notable loss for the Bills. We'll see about that. And then Christian Benford obviously is playing really good football right now, and I think playing really good over the last several weeks. You know, he had actually dealt with a little bit of a couple injuries earlier in the year on the injury report. And then he, you know, he's been healthier, and they've been shadowing him. In fact, he shadowed DK Metcalf last week. Whether that was in man-to-man or zone, he was right on him. And, you know, DK isn't the same receiver he used to be, and it's not the most downfield threatening passing attack, but I think it still says a lot to say we're going to put Christian Benford on him. Has the scoop and score, obviously, to be in the right spot at the right time. There was a play he made earlier in the game, too, by the way, Christian Benford. A tackle for loss and a corner blitz was really nice. Mm-hmm. You know, he's playing well at the point of attack, and then he had the interception as well, and went through that with him in the locker room a little bit. It was really interesting getting his insight on that. Like, all the things that these guys think about on a play-to-play basis, Derek, is pretty incredible. And he literally was saying on that interception, like, there was a guy high, there's a guy low, and he was watching the quarterback, Mason Rudolph in this case. He literally was watching his shoulders and his angle to see if he was throwing the high or the low. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, these are things these guys are thinking about in the middle of a route, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, Sal, it is something where the recognition is there. It's always been there for him. And then now it's just he's back to making plays. He's back to looks like his usual self. And there's a little bit less worry about like that extension because like maybe there's a little chatter of like, oh, they whiffed on a lot of these extensions this year. Benford looks like he's just fine. And that's good to see. But on the other side of the field, though, Sal, Trey White significantly outsnaps Max Hairston in this game. And he's looked a lot better, too, though, very quietly as of late.
I agree. I think Trey's playing good football right now. And Sean McDermott was asked about the snap counts. It was 33 for him, 13 for Max Hairston.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean said it's just kind of the way the game flowed. And I do. That's right. But why did the game flow that way? Well, I think we can read a couple things into it. Number one, Max Hairston was coming out of concussion protocol. He had missed a little bit of time last week, early in the week. That impacts your reps as you're ramping up. So when you get out on the field and there's somebody ahead of you and they're getting most of the reps and you're not getting as many, it's a little tougher to, you know, put in the game later in the week as things go on. That's number one. Not that you can't do it. You can. Number two, I think this was the kind of game where it's not like they had Jalen Waddle on the other side or Tyreek Hill on the other side or Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy, right? I mean, this was a passing attack, I think, that you felt very comfortable with a guy like Tre'Davious White in there. And yes, they had Calvin Austin who has speed, but they weren't going to be, you know, chucking the ball down the field a ton, you know? So I think that it made it a lot easier for Sean McDermott to say, we're good with Trey White here. We don't have to rush Max Hairston back, put him in there and, you know, have a veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, you know, try to figure out how to pick on him with a mistake or something like that. So I give the Bills credit, I think, last week for really understanding their personnel and the situation. I think it's the same thing at safety, Derek, where there's something to be said for Jordan Hancock playing more, and they need more speed on the field. Last week wasn't the week for that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This week was a week you needed a guy like Jordan Poyer on the field more, and he was. Hancock played three snaps. Jordan Poyer, his physicality against that team and what they wanted to do and the personnel that they brought, that's what you needed last week. And I think the Bills here lately on defense have done a good job of understanding what personnel belongs on the field on a game-to-game and play-to-play basis.
And that's something I wanted to ask more about, Sal. I'm glad you led it this way. Because of the fact that the Bills' defense has been a little bit more consistent since the bye week, and really I think it's looked different since that second half against Atlanta. We know that Sean McDermott has publicly said that he's been throwing in a little bit of assistance with Bobby Babbage on the play calling. I do think, though, that this is getting to where I can trust this defense, even with all of its injuries, to make the right adjustments. That is one of the best things that they have been able to do on defense this year is, in the second half, they're not as easy to mess around with. They're not as easy to move the ball against, and they are getting a lot more stingy as the season is going on.
Yeah, and I think you can feel comfortable doing that, but you still have that, you know, that glaring number that pops up, the rushing yards allowed. And, you know, I think a team's path against the Bills is still going to be running the football, and they're still going to have some challenges against teams running the football. And, you know, let's be honest, Derek, this goes to a Shaq Thompson point, right? Which is he's been really good in the middle. They do have Terrell Bernard. You mentioned the extensions these guys sign. Right now, that's not looking like a great extension, but I still believe in, like, Terrell Bernard as a player. I think he's a very good football player. He's a good middle linebacker. He's captained this defense. He's not the style of player, I think, that fits right now for what teams are doing against them that makes this defense better. That's Shaq Thompson. Terrell Bernard's also dealt with an ankle injury here a little bit. We know that. And now he's dealing with the arm injury, and I doubt he'd be available this week based on what that looked like last week. But who knows? We'll hear from Sean McDermott here in about an hour and a half. But I just think that having Shaq Thompson in the middle really allows them to be able to defend the run better than when they have Terrell Bernard in the middle. Overall, as a defense, when everybody's healthy, at the defensive line with Ed Oliver and Michael Hoyt and Joey Bosa and everybody is healthy, and Terrell Bernard is healthy, I still think Terrell Bernard is an excellent middle linebacker, and you're totally fine with him playing because he's sideline to sideline, makes critical plays, he's good in coverage. But right now, I think Shaq Thompson's the guy that helps this linebacking core play better on what they need compared to how, you know, versus what teams are trying to do against them.
Well, do you think, Sal, when it comes to Bernard, I'm getting more interested about this sort of thing where we've seen how the two-high era is changing a little bit of offensive philosophies. Running the football has been a lot more successful over the past couple years now, and it is something where Bernard is not the best of run defenders. Do you think that he might be getting victimized a little bit by a little bit of this philosophical shift where you're keeping everything in front of you and offenses are countering with trying to put a little bit more balance into the game and running the football more?
For sure I do. I think it's personnel. It's offenses are getting bigger is what they're doing. And they're putting more. I mean, look what the Steelers did last week with three tight ends and those behemoths that they have. You know what I mean? You put Washington out there, right?
God.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're going through. Look at the Bills. The Bills are going three tight ends. The Bills are doing this. There's a lot of teams running 12 and 13 a lot more now. And they're putting fullbacks on the field. And Patrick Ricard and Bills have Reggie Gilliam. And there's other teams that do this as well. And I do think that's just not what Terrell Bernard's strength is against. Terrell Bernard is a more of a sideline to sideline guy. So I think this is a discussion for the offseason. Okay, we're going to table this for the offseason, but I'm just going to lay the seed now. I think Terrell Bernard, in a perfect world, is more of a will linebacker the way the defense is played now, not a middle linebacker. Your will linebacker, who's Matt Milano right now, is your guy that's got to be sideline to sideline. He's got to be able to cut down angles. Yes, he's got to plug north and south, but he's more of a sideline to sideline, athletic coverage guy. To me, that's Terrell Bernard's skill set. Do you remember Terrell Bernard's first ever start in the NFL? Do you remember when that was?
That was, okay, so I remember that there was that competition for middle linebacker after Tremaine Edmonds leaves in free agency, and Bernard's hurt for a majority of the preseason.
But it was before that.
Okay, yeah.
He started at will linebacker against the Jets the year before that for a game because Milano was hurt, I believe. Now, the reason I bring that up is he was not good in that game. And we were like, oh, my God, Terrell Bernard. And he was a rookie, I believe, like that year.
Yeah, he was a rookie that year.
He played weak side linebacker. When I say will, by the way, so people know, that's weak side, okay? You got your middle, you got your strong, you got your weak. The Bills basically don't play a strong side linebacker. They play a nickel defense, which is an extra corner. That takes the strong side backer off the field. And then in last week, they played a lot more three linebackers with a strong linebacker. That was Dorian Williams. But then when you say Mike, that's middle. And when you say Will, that's weak. And the middle linebacker is downhill, in between the tackles, north and south, generally. not like Ray Lewis back in the day necessarily, but you know, that type of linebacker. The game has changed.
More like a Luke Kuechly type. Guy
yeah,
who can
sure, sure. If you want to do that, sure. Yeah. I hate making that name because he's so great, right? But
right.
Or even Ray Lewis. But yeah, Will linebacker.
Yeah, you need a name that people can at least recognize it, yeah.
Your Will linebacker, your weak side guy, is a guy that he's on the weak side. He's not facing the tight end as much, except in certain situations. He basically can go sideline to sideline. He can, in coverage, you can put him. So, to me, I think Terrell Bernard eventually could be a Will linebacker if teams are going to continue and offenses are going to continue to play the way that they're playing now, and we see this. Right now you have Matt Milano there, and I think Matt Milano is actually playing really well lately, partly because he's got a guy in Shaq Thompson that is more north-south, and he can do what he needs to do. Does that all make sense? It's like a puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. I always compare it to... Derek, I'm a big college basketball fan, and I think this is way more true in college than NBA, but I always compare it to a point guard and a shooting guard. And if your point guard is hurt and you have to, or you don't have a good one, and you move a guy who's normally a really good shooting guard to the point, it really impacts two positions big time, right? Because now you have your best shooter who has to be a distributor, and you got someone else who isn't as good of a shooter playing for him. And I think it's the same thing at linebacker when you're talking about Mike and Will. And right now, I think the Bills are better at both spots because Shaq Thompson is doing what he's doing at Mike.
Sal, we have plenty more to get to here on the other side, so we'll take a timeout here. But we'll keep you around, and we'll talk a little bit more on the offensive side of things, including a certain little pattern from Pittsburgh that got to be very frustrating for the Steelers. But we'll talk about that on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer with Sal Capaccio here. We'll do this for another segment here on WGR. Rolling along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer here with you. No Zach Jones. He's on vacation. Well-earned vacation for Zach. And we've got on the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio is still hanging around with us here. Sal, we talked about the defense last segment, and I think it's perfect time to just transition on over here with the offensive side of the ball. I find it hilarious on one end of it of like the Steelers complaining about I've never seen a team run the same call so much and have success with it. That means that you had a hard time stopping Duo, and it seemed like it was more or less Joe Brady just kept hitting the easy button and it kept working in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, why not run the plays that are working over and over again, right?
Yeah.
It just makes sense. The Bills, the Steelers couldn't stop it. I was thinking about this today because when T.J. Watt said after the game, boy, they kept running the same play. I've never seen a team run the same play over and over again. It was mind-boggling. And there were actually some Bills fans who were taking that as an indictment on Joe Brady that he would only run the same play and wasn't creative enough. Like, no, that's T.J. Watt's saying, I can't believe they kept doing that to us because we couldn't stop it. He was more complaining about his own defense. But I was thinking about it in this manner. If you're a Bills fan and you're watching the Atlanta game, what did they do? Just kept throwing a Drake London underneath, throwing a Drake London underneath, throwing a Drake London underneath. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we couldn't stop this. You didn't think, wow, the Falcons only have one play. You didn't think that. You're thinking, we can't stop this. And that's what happened. So that demoralizes you when you're a defense. The team is running. You know it's coming. I mean, we even talked to James Cook about it in the locker room, Derek. I'm like, what's it like when the defense knows it's coming and you still have that success? And he's just got a big smile. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty cool, right? And that's exactly what was happening.
Yeah, Sal, and it really had it was quite the testament, though, for Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson. Anderson had a couple false starts in the first half. It was looking a little rough there. And it was like, okay, like here we go. You asked about you complain about the starting tackles and how badly they performed against Houston, albeit injured both of them in that game. But, you know, it turned at first, it was looking like you're going to complain about the starters, but then wait until you get the backups. But then the second half, Sal, they really do stabilize things at the offensive tackles for both Anderson and Vandermark. And they were road graders like the rest of the unit throughout there. But I was really most impressed with Tyrell Shavers on the outside with how he was blocking.
Well, it takes everybody in the run game. You know, coaches say it and it's true and you see it. takes everybody contributing, whether that's running backs if they're on the field, whether that's wide receivers, especially on the edge. And this was a big, big game for them to get to the edge. Those cutback lanes for James Cook, tight ends, obviously. Jackson Hawes has made a big difference in that. You know, it's not that you can't do that every week necessarily. Maybe you can, but you can't think that that's how you're going to win every single game. You have to have multiple ways to win. You know, someone mentioned to me yesterday, well, it's not sustainable. Well, that might be true, but you didn't have to. All you had to do is sustain it for that game, for four quarters. Next week's a different game. Next week's a different game plan. And maybe you do the same thing against the Bengals, who have been bad against the run this year. They've also been bad against the pass. They also have Joe Burrow. They could light up the scoreboard. So maybe you're in a shootout, and you can't just, you know, put the ball on the ground. You have to score with them. So everything's going to be different. I thought last week was one of the easiest analyzations of a game I could ever give going in, Derek, which is if you listen to Sean McDermott the week before talk about Josh Allen getting beat up and hitting the quarterback, and you knew that they were going to have, you know, their two backup tackles in, it was the easiest analyzation, which is this: they're going to protect Josh Allen with quick game and run game, period. And that's what they did. And they had the game plan that they needed to have to win that game.
And Sal, that's one of the other things I have listed on here is the fact that they had their backup tackles in against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You, Zach, and I talked about it last week. They've got Watt, they've got Highsmith, they've got Herbig, and a litany of pass rushers that can really do some damage to you even when the offensive line's healthy. They went ahead and they helped out with more protection schemes. Very uncommon for their offense to do on a primary basis, which is giving their offensive tackles a little bit of help. Do you think, though, that might have just been a, strictly speaking, we have our backup tackles in? Or do you think there was a lesson learned from Houston, which is sometimes we do need to give the offensive line a little bit of help?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both, but I think for me, the Houston game, a lot of criticism for Joe Brady, and it was warranted, but the criticism wasn't for me that the game plan was bad. It was no adjustments during the game. Yep. Like, I had no problem going out there and saying, look, I pay Deion Dawkins a lot of money. I pay Spencer Brown a lot of money. They're very good at what they do. I'm going to bank on them to win here in this game. But, you know, you're on the road. It's a tough environment. And once it started to go where you saw that wasn't going to happen, that's when you need to start giving help. So I think that Joe Brady, the rest of the offense, everybody had to kind of swallow a little pride, maybe, even the players, and say, we need a little help here with these guys. And they just didn't give it to him enough. And I understand having confidence and banking on the guys, but once it starts to go where you know the game isn't going the way you envisioned it, you have to adjust. And I thought that was the issue that I had with the game plan against the Houston Texans. Not the game plan itself, but not adjusting. So you go into this game knowing all that information and saying, all right, we don't even have those guys, so we better do our best to protect as much as we can to start. I mean, if Watt and Herbig and those guys started getting off with the game plan they had, I don't know what else you could turn to other than just, okay, start chucking the ball downfield as quick as possible, because right. I think they already went into this game fortifying enough of the pass protection they could.
And it did look like that game plan was specifically, let's try to at least get out of this thing, survive. We know we don't have both of our starting offensive tackles. Let's just get out of here and find a way to get the win. And we're going to do it with, like you said, protecting Allen with a quick game and a run game against three really talented pass rushers. To where, and again, I mentioned and lauded how the defense does a great job with making adjustments. And I think that might be Brady's most consistent issue this year, is the adjustments being made out of a halftime, for example, to where that is the case. This game wasn't one of them, though. They knew that they can keep attacking. They knew that the adjustments didn't necessarily have to be made. They could just keep attacking the way that they wanted to, especially when the game script went more into their favor with those two defensive drives.
Yeah, I do think that this game was way more like it felt, and I know the score is what matters most, right? There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. The Bills were down 7-3 at halftime. I thought the Bills should have been up a couple scores by halftime, because they were dominating the Steelers still. The only touchdown the Steelers had, the only points they had the whole game, was a short field the Bills gave them. And the Bills moved the ball and turned it over twice. I mean, if they don't turn the ball over those two times, I think they score on those drives. Maybe you give them 10 points, let's say. You know, this game should have been, a touchdown at least lead for the Bills. Instead, they were, you know, down 4 points at halftime. So, yeah, I think there's something to be said for just understanding and knowing that what you're doing is – is good and right and working, you just can't, you have to stop eliminating those mistakes. And on the road this year, they've just had multiple turnovers and penalties far too often. And that's been the issue. And that's what scares you about going on the road in the playoffs. But you have time to still to correct that. And this week's a home game, obviously. So we'll see. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott in about an hour from now, Derek, and we'll get an update on injuries. I don't know what Joey Bosa's status is this week, but the fact that they signed Andre Jones Jr. back to the practice squad Monday, means to me that you're probably preparing to have one less defensive end in the rotation this week during practice. That's probably Bosa, considering the injury. So we'll see where that goes. And then talking about the linemen, we still don't know what Deion Dawkins' status is for this week, or Spencer Brown for that matter. So we'll get an update from Sean McDermott in about an hour.
Yeah, that'll be a huge injury update, Sal, with how things are going there. And the rest of the week, we all know that to be, it's going to be standard fare. We're hearing from McDermott in a little bit of time here. And then, of course, you'll be speaking to the coach on Friday.
Yeah, and he'll give us the update, the final injury designation. So they have the Bills, by the way, the Bills only have a walkthrough practice today, so media won't be allowed to watch the practice. But we'll still be down there hearing from Sean McDermott, and then we'll get with Josh Allen and other players later.
All right, Sal, we'll let you get to it. And I'll be sure to talk to you more about this and getting the updates tomorrow as the week goes on.
You got it.
All right, thanks, Sal. That's Sal Capaccio there on the Westsur Hotline. And we'll take ourselves a timeout as well. Be ready to wrap up our number one here of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But before that, you ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for a chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Ali Kebaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shope and Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Come back, wrap up our number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.